Tunisia is facing its worst political crisis in a decade of democracy. President Kais Saied, earlier this week, ousted the government, suspended parliament with help from the army. There had been violent mass protests, anger over the handling of a recent spike in COVID-19 cases, overlaid on dissatisfaction about the country's economic plight boiled over. The country's main parties say it is a coup. Tunisia is where the Arab Spring started, and really, the moves towards democracy in the Arab world, which had some momentum at the start of that Tunisian Arab Spring, have pretty much all faltered away, and only Tunisia is left with a foothold on the platform of democracy. Dr. Claire Spencer joins us now from London, a senior visiting fellow at King's College London's Political Institute and a specialist on North Africa. Claire, very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I mean, is this the sort of dying embers of Arab democracy about to be extinguished for a while?
Well, I think there's two schools of thought. And of course, one is that the president is reverting to type, if you like, in that since independence from France back in the 50s, Tunisia has largely been governed until the Arab Spring by a very single, and in the case of Ben Ali, the last deposed president, a very authoritarian figure. But the current president was voted in 2 years ago in 2019 with a 70% favorable rating. And I think another analysis of this is that the party political system, as represented in government and in the parliament, which he's now suspended for 30 days, hasn't really been working on behalf of the country. There's a lot of frustration talking about political parties who are only interested in themselves, that don't have a plan. So even before the COVID pandemic, there were rising tensions about unemployment and an economic crisis, which, of course, has only got worse due to the pandemic.
What are the chances of relatively imminent stability allowing a return to the trappings of democracy, allowing parliament to sit again, allowing the prime minister to come back into his post?
Well, the majority party in Ennahda, who was declaring it to be a coup on Monday, has been more conciliatory as of yesterday, asking for negotiations and a return to an electoral process. But I think the problem has been in the party system itself. Very few of those who were actively involved in the Arab Spring, the younger generations, lawyers, professional organizations, even though they have been very active as civil society, are not actually standing for parliament. And so unless the party system can really organize itself, answer some of the questions about corruption of which they've been accused, really come up with some plans and ways to implement them, I can't see them getting a very favorable response if elections are held again. So this has now put all the pressure on the president actually to make some of the things that he himself has been critical of over the last few months, such as the COVID vaccination program. Only about 7% of the population has received a vaccination. And just last week, there was a botched attempt to speed this up with lots of people queuing up at a vaccination center and there not being enough vaccines to go around. So it really is a question of, you know, whether some of the dire problems, the indebtedness of Tunisia, the fact that it actually needs to go back to organizations like the IMF to ask for another loan, whether the president can do this on his own. He himself is not a member of either of the political parties, so is not tainted by the same level of corruption. That said, of course, he's a constitutional lawyer by training. There are some arguments that he didn't actually act very constitutionally, and the suspension of parliament without its permission for 30 days is one such instance. But if he produces some results and imposes a bit of order, and this includes trying to clamp down on the police who themselves, you know, while they're policing the situation, they're also themselves seen as you know, enjoying impunity for excessive violence and themselves are quite corrupt. the one institution of state that people still respect is the small army. It's not like Egypt where the army is everywhere and very meshed in the state. The army could actually keep things moving, and that may be the institution the president relies on.
Essentially then, if I may reduce to a banality, democracy is dependent on an individual acting, at least for a while, dictatorially.
Yes, you might draw that conclusion from what I've just said, but I think one of the benefits that Tunisia has is a very active civil society. There are four organizations, if you remember, including the General Trades Union and the Employers Organization, who, together with some human rights activists, won the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago, precisely because at that stage, I think it was 2015, they unblocked, you know, the confrontational nature of the two main parties in Parliament and actually got them to work together and, you know, try and resolve the constitutional crisis that was going on then. It could be the constitution needs revisiting, but I don't think we can look at this situation now, perhaps after 30 days, but certainly not now, as an outright cancellation of democracy. It really is a question of what the next steps are, whether the president is open to negotiation with the main political parties, with the employers' union, the unions, and actually reorient the direction that Tunis has been going in, which has not been to the satisfaction of the majority of the population, which is why you see the demonstrations that took place on Sunday and to a lesser extent on Monday have now calmed down. There is no public protest about what's going on until people see what happens next.
Dr. Claire Spencer, thank you very much. A senior visiting fellow at the Political Institute at King's College London, obviously a specialist on North Africa.